Okay, Rishon Rashi on Parshas Bo. There are many, many, many famous ideas here. Okay, so the Torah writes in Perek Yud, Pasuk, Kaf Aleph and on, it talks about Choshech. It says, V'yomesh Choshech, Yud Mem Shin. Rashi has a whole discussion. What does that root refer to? So Rashi says that it was very thick, the darkness was very thick, ad shahayu bo mamish, as if it had substance. In other words, it was so thick, like the darkness was palpable, you could almost feel it. From the language of mimashesh b'tzarayim, when you grope, when you touch something. So it was a very thick darkness, which you could actually feel in a sense. Pasuk kaf beis, it says it was dark for 3 days. What does that mean exactly? So Rashi explains that there were 3 days that it was dark. Lo ro ish es achiv. You couldn't see anything. And then another 3 days, it was even darker, in a sense, it was denser. Lo kamu ish mitachtav. You couldn't even move. Yoshev en yachol lamod v'omed en yachol leshev. That fits with the previous Rashi, that you could actually feel the choshech. Then Rashi quotes the famous Chazal. And why did Hashem bring the Choshech? Because there were Yisrael, so Ador Rishayim, there were some Jews who were Rishayim. And they didn't want to leave Mitzrayim because they didn't have Emunah that Hashem would help them in the Midbar. So Umesu b'shloshes yimei afela, they died during the Choshech. Why? Because Hashem didn't want the Mitzrayim to see them die. They'll say, look, oh, the Jews are also being killed, so there's some weird plague going on. It's not an anti-Mitzrayim thing, it's a weird plague. So Hashem worked it out that the Jews would die in a way that the Mitzrayim would not see. Oh. And furthermore, during those 3 days of darkness when the Mitzrayim couldn't move, the Jews went into their homes to check out all the things they had. So later, when the Jews were leaving and they asked to take or borrow the Mitzrayim's kelim, if the Mitzrayim say, we don't have anything, the Jews would say, no, you have it here, you have it there. That's the world-famous Rashi of the two practical pluses. There's a bit in that Hashem had in mind, in a sense, for the Makkah of Choshech. Oh. Next, Perek Yud Aleph Beis. The Torah says, Daber na bazneham v'yish'alu, and you shall request, borrow. Now, it's very interesting. The Jews were not borrowing these kelim. They were taking them. They weren't going to give them back. It's very striking that the word used is the root of borrowing, which all means to borrow. What's the idea? So Rabbi Franz Schlitter has in his Sefer, one of his Sfarim on the Chumash, he quotes from the Chidush Harim the following idea. In Yahadus, when a person has money, we're supposed to feel as if it's not really ours. It's Hashem's money. And Hashem gives us distribution rights. We can use the money, you know, within Hashem's guidelines, but it's not really mine. Hashem gives me distribution rights, you know, within the halacha, etc. This is the first time that Am Yisrael as a nation is going to be owning money and owning property. So Hashem wanted to train us with the proper way. Hashem wanted to train us with the proper way to view our money. And therefore, we called it yishalu. It's borrowed. We had to feel as if it was borrowed. This was training us in the proper way to view wealth. This is a major yesod that a person has to understand. His money is not really his own. It's Hashem's money, and he has distribution rights. One of the main ways this affects a person should be how one approaches tzedakah. Giving tzedakah, how one deals with someone who asks for tzedakah, how you have to treat somebody nicely, with respect. It's not really yours. It's Hashem's money, and you have to view it as if it's borrowed. From who? From Hashem. Very beautiful idea from the Chidushei Harim. Next, in Perek Yud Aleph Pasuk Dalet, Moshe says, Ka chatzos halayla, approximately chatzos. Why approximately? So there are different pshatim. So Rashi quotes Chazal that Moshe said ka chatzos. Moshe knew it would be exactly at chatzos, but maybe the Mitzrim astrologers would make a mistake in their calculations. They'd say, oh, Moshe, you got it wrong. So in order to avoid the Mitzrim incorrectly accusing Moshe of a mistake, Moshe said it's going to be approximate. It's going to be approximate. Oh, just to sharpen the point, when Hashem speaks to Moshe, Hashem says, Bachatzos, in Perek Yud Beis, Pasuk Koftes, the Torah says, Bachatzi Halayla, at Chatzos. In other words, it happened exactly at Chatzos. But when Moshe spoke to the Mitzrim, he said Kachatzos, as if it was approximate. Okay, that's a famous Maimer Chazal. Let us continue. The beginning of Perek Yud Beis has the pasuk of HaChodesh Hazeh Lechem Rosh Chodashim. Nisan is the first month of the year. Rashi says, Al Chodesh Nisan Amar Lo, Zeh Yer Rosh L'Seder Minyan HaChadashim. That Nisan's called the first month, Iyar, the second month, etc. In the Torah, the months have numbers, not names. Why? So here there's a world-famous Ramban. You have to know this Ramban. The Ramban explains that the reason why the months in the Torah have numbers, not names, is so that we should constantly remember the miracles of Yetzias Mitzrayim. Somebody says, oh, what month is it now? Oh, now it's, let's say now it's Shvat. So now it's the 11th month. The 11th? Oh, yeah, the 11th month from the first month. Oh, why is that the first month? Oh, that's when Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim, all the miracles. So every time a Jew remembers just the date, the month of the year, he's reminded of the miracles of Yetzias Mitzrayim. That's what the Ramban says. The Ramban says that's why the Torah, there are no names for the days of the week, only numbers. Because we want to remember Shabbos. Hashem wants us to remember Shabbos all the time. Every day you're saying, oh, it's the first day till Shabbos, second day till Shabbos. And you're constantly remembering Shabbos. So a Jew should, when you mention the date, you're reminded of Yetzias Mitzrayim. You mention the day of the week, you're reminded of Shabbos. Then the Ramban continues, but we have names of the months. Nisan, Iyar, Sivan. How does that fit? Apparently Hashem had a reason to have numbers and not the names. Why do we have names? So the Ramban says the following idea. The names came with us from Bavel. They're Persian names. And the Ramban says that just like we're supposed to remember the miracles of Yetzias Mitzrayim, we're supposed to remember the miracles and thank Hashem for taking us out from the Gula from Bavel. So just the opposite. As opposed to the names of the months being a question against this principle the Ramban develops, the Ramban says the names of the months represent a second application of the same principle. We're supposed to remember not only the miracles of leaving Mitzrayim, but also as follows. It's just the language of the Ramban is Lahazkir, to remind us, Kisham Amadnu, we were there. Umisham Ha'elonu Hashem Yizbar, Hashem took us out. And just like we have to thank Hashem for taking us out of Mitzrayim, we have to remember and thank Hashem for taking us out of Bavel. So that explains the numbers of the months, starting from Nisan, and the names of the months as well. Oh, let us continue. Perek Yud Beis, Pasuk Yud Beis. Here there's an interesting Rashi, which the Maril Diskin has a pshat, and Rav Nevensal has a beautiful addition to the Maril Diskin's pshat. Oh. So Perek Yud Beis, Pasuk Yud Beis. So Hashem says, Ve'avarti, I'm going to pass Be'eretz Mitzrayim, Hikesi Kol Bechor. I'm going to kill all the firstborn. Look, let's learn Rashi. Kimelech ha'over mimakom l'makom, like a king passing from one place to another, uva havara achas, and with one passage, uva rega achas, in one moment, kulon lokin, they all die. That's what Rashi says. Well, it's it's a little difficult. If Hashem's passing from place to place, mimakom lemakom, how exactly is everyone killed exactly at the same time? The words don't seem to flow so well. So the Maharal Diskin says the following idea. Every Mitzri was killed exactly at his personal Chatzos. Chatzos is an astronomical moment. Chatzos is the halfway point between sunset and the next sunrise. That's Chatzos. Now, sunset and sunrise fluctuate slightly as you move westward. You know, we use time zones just for convenience. But let's say, take Silver Spring and Columbus, Ohio. They're both in the same time zone. But Columbus, Ohio is much further west than Silver Spring. So sunset is at a later time in Columbus than it is in Silver Spring. So Chatzos is also going to be later. So here's what happened. Hashem's going from place to place, killing every firstborn exactly at his personal Chatzos. But, so the Mitzrim were all killed at the same time, i.e., at each one's personal Chatzos. But, like, if you looked on your watch, on your clock, it was happening here and here and here, you know, 1 second next to 1 second next. It was like a rolling maca. It's like a reverse wave. Everyone's, or like dominoes, everyone going down as you go westward. So every Mitzri did die at the same time, in the sense of at his own personal exact Chatzos. But on your clock, it wasn't at the same time. So it's like Hashem's going from place to place, killing each Mitzri, as he's going along. Oh, and Rav Nevensol adds on a beautiful Chiddush. Take a look later when Makas Bechoros happens in Pasuk Lamed. So Pasuk Kaftes says Makas Bechoros happens. Good. Pasuk Lamed. Vayokam paro lailuhu v'chol avadav. V'chol Mitzrayim. Everyone gets up. Why'd they get up? Probably because of the commotion from Makas Bechoros. Then the next phrase. Vatehi tza'aka gedola b'Mitzrayim. There was a great cry in Egypt. Well, if Parah woke up from the commotion, why does the Torah say there was a Tza'aka Gedola after he woke up? Rav Nevensol said that exactly. There was a rolling Makkah starting in the east going to the west. So the Makkah starts, all the firstborn are dying, everyone's yelling, screaming, and the Makkah reaches the capital city of Mitzrayim, and Parah wakes up from the commotion. Then the next few minutes, the Makkah continues. And in the next few minutes, all of the Bechoros are killed, and then there's a Tza'aka Gedola. Wow. A fabulous addition of Rav Nevensol to the Maharil Diskin's Vort on the Rashi. That idea is mentioned in Rav Nevensol's Haggadah, Yerushalayim B'Moadeh. Oh. Next. Back to Parakeet Beis, Pasuk Yud Gimel. Hayah Adam Lochem Le'os Al Habatim. It was an os for you. So Rashi quotes Chazal. What do you mean for you? Lochem Le'os for Lochem Le'os. Mikan Shelo Nasno Adam Ela Mibifnim. The dam was on the inside of the door, not the outside. So the dam was there as a sign for the Jews on the inside. Okay. Good. That's what Rashi quotes. Now it's interesting. I saw that Rav Mirsky in the Hagione Halacha quotes the Akedas Yitzchak, that even though the Dam signed Mibifim, it was still part of the miracle for the Mitzrim as well. How? We shechted the Korban Pesach in the middle of the day, and we're taking the Dam and taking it into our homes to put on the doorposts. So the Mitzrim saw that. And they couldn't respond. That was part of our declaration that we're not afraid of the Mitzrayim. We're not afraid of your Avodah Zarah. We only because we have an Emunah in Hashem. Hashem's with us. Included shechting the Korban Pesach and taking the Dam. So even though the Dam was an os on the doors for us, not for the Mitzrayim, but the whole procedure was done in public, and it was part of our public rejection of the mitzvahs of Avodah Zarah, our public declaration that we believe we have trust in Hashem. Okay. Next, the psukim continue, and in Pasuk Yud Zayin, there's a famous pasuk with a very famous Rashi. Ushmartim es ha-matzos, guard the matzos. So the simple pshat is guard the matzos from not becoming chametz. Be very careful when you knead the dough and bake it. Okay. Rabbi Yoshaya says that the letters matzos, mem tzadi vav tuf, can also be read mitzvos. Guard the mitzvos. What does that mean? Just like you shouldn't let the matzos become chametz, kachein machmitit en es ha-mitzvos. Don't miss doing a mitzvah. If a mitzvah comes to your hand, grab it. Eli imba liyotcha, aseotcha miyad. Chazal and elsewhere have a different language. Mitzvah bo liyotcha, al tachmitzena. Just like you have to be careful in guarding the matzah, you also have to be careful in doing mitzvahs. And the Mefarshim explain a beautiful connection. You have to make the matzahs carefully, quickly, with zvizus, with zahirus. You have to guard them and be zealous. So too, when it comes to mitzvos, be careful and zealous in doing the mitzvos. So just like you're careful, zehirus, and you're zealous, zrizus, in making matzahs, so too, be careful and be zaris, zealous in doing mitzvos. So this is a very important Maimer Chazal. You have a chance to do a mitzvah, grab it. Don't push it off. Okay. Next. Now, Pasuk Lamed Aleph. Machas Bechoros happens, and Paro starts crying, looking for Moshe and Aaron. Says, get out, go, leave, everyone's dying, leave. Okay. So Rashi here, Pasuk Lamed Aleph, refers to, he doesn't really quote the whole Medrash, as follows. Magi Chayim Mechazer al Pische Ho'ir Vitzoi. He was went around to all the entrance of the city. Heichan Moshe, where's Aaron and Moshe? Where are they? I have to tell them to leave now. So there's a famous medrash that talks about Paro searching for Moshe and Aaron. The children are making fun of him. He's here, he's there. Rabbi Alter is, he sings, makes children's songs in Eretz Yisrael. And he's very, very good. He's sort of the Israeli equivalent of Uncle Moshe in America. So he made up a song. It's called Paro B'Pijama B'Emsa Laila. Paro in pajamas in the middle of the night. And the gist of the song is this medrash. Paro's in his pajamas running around, trying to find Moshe and Aaron. Get out, get out. And the kids are making fun of Paro, and, you know, guiding him here, guiding him there. So that's a song. So, you know, in Rav Nevensal Shlita, at his Seder, so Rabbi Alter made it into the Masorah. Rabbi Nevensal sings that children's song at his Seder. He thinks it captures the Medrash, and it, you know, for the children, for his grandchildren. It captures the message of what's happening at the Zman of Makas Parosin Yitzias Mitzrayim. So Rabbi Nevensal sings that famous song, Paro B'Pijama V'Emsa Laila, at his Seder to his grandchildren. Okay. Now there's a world-famous Pasuk Lamed Tes. I'm just going to raise a kasha here. We don't have time to go through this. The Pasuk says, Vayofu es habatzek ha-shotzim mitzrayim ugos matzos. They bake the dough into matzah. Ki lo chametz, but not chametz. Why? Ki goshem mitzrayim, because we were rushed out. So the Pasuk says, that it seems to say, that Bnei Yisrael ate matzah and not chametz because we were rushed out. The Pasuk implies that if we were not rushed out, we would have eaten chametz. But wait a second. It was Pesach. We had already received the laws of Pesach back at the beginning of Shmos Perek Yud Beis. Look in the Psukim there. It mentions 7 days you can't eat chametz, 7 days you have to eat matzah. So how could the Pasuk here imply... Also, by the way, the Seder seems to say this. At Magid, we say, why do we eat matzah? Because the Mitzrayim rushed us out. How can the Pasuk and the Seder imply that we ate matzah because we were rushed out, meaning that if we were not rushed out, we would have eaten chametz. But chametz was usur. That's a great kasha. It's a famous kasha, which the Mefarshim discussed. There are three famous answers to that kasha: the Ran, the Malbim, and the Ramban. We're not going to go through them now, but be aware of the kasha. It's a famous kasha which deserves attention. Okay, next. In Pasuk Mem Aleph, the Torah says, how long were we in Mitzrayim? 430 years. But we weren't in the Mitzrayim 430 years. So Rashi gives the whole calculation, and we know the 400 years started from when Yitzchak was born, and the 430 years started from the Bris Bana Besarim, when Hashem spoke to Avraham. Avraham was 70. That's when Hashem gave him the Nevuah, that your children will be in Mitzrayim. So the 430 starts from there. That's from the Nevuah when Avram first heard about the Golus in Mitzrayim. That's the gist of the very, very long Rashi over there. Okay. Perek Yud Gimel Pasuk Ches. The Torah says, Ba'avur Zeh, because of this, Hashem took him out of Mitzrayim. So Rashi quotes Chazal, and this is an important Rashi. Bavur she'akayim mitzvosav. In order that I fulfill the mitzvos, Pesach Matzu Mor Halalu. In other words, Rashi is teaching us that Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim in order to do the mitzvos. This reflects a major yesod, that the purpose of Yetzias Mitzrayim was Matan Torah, receiving the Torah and doing the mitzvos. Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim to be free to serve Hashem. Freedom in Yadus is not freedom to do whatever you want. Freedom is the freedom to serve Hashem. That's what Rashi is saying. Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim in order to be able to fulfill the mitzvos. Pesach Matzah Umar. Okay. Finally, with this we'll close. There's a famous, I don't know if it's famous. There's a beautiful kliyakar at the end of the parsha. Perek Yud Gimel Pasuk Yud Dalet. It says, Ki Yishalcha bin Chamachar Lemur. Your son will ask you tomorrow. What does tomorrow mean? So the simple pshat means in the future. Rashi explains, it means in the future. In the future, your kids will ask you and you'll have to give them answers. Okay. The kliyakar says that this word machar, another interpretation, is teaching us the right way to ask questions. It's teaching us Nase v'nishma. The word machar means you ask tomorrow. So what did you do today? Today you did it without asking. Oh, Nase v'nishma. Today you do, tomorrow you ask. The Kliyakar says the Pasuk is teaching us the right way versus the wrong way to ask questions in Yadus. It's good to ask questions. It's good to try to figure things out. But Nase v'nishma. It's not that we're not going to do it unless we get an answer. We're doing it anyway. And we also want to try to figure it out. And that's why the Pasuk says, Machar, to teach us, it's a remez. Tomorrow we ask, but today, we did it already. Today we did it already, and tomorrow we're going to ask. This is Nase v'nishma. It's interesting that the word ta'am means reason, and the word ta'am means flavor. What's the idea? So I once heard from Avaron Soloveitchik Zatzal the following idea. He said the reasons for mitzvos are not the essence of the mitzvah, but rather they add flavor to the mitzvah. Mitzvahs are like vitamins. You go to the doctor, you run down, he says, take these vitamins. Most people don't know exactly why this vitamin helps or whatever. You trust the doctor, you take the vitamin. Vitamins don't really taste good. Mitzvos are like vitamins. Hashem gave us a mitzvah, we do it. It's good for us in Olam Haba, oh, for sure. It's good for us in Olam Haza, for sure. If we trust the doctor to take the vitamins, then Kal v'chomer. We trust Hashem to do the mitzvos. Mitzvos are like vitamins. We do them even if we don't understand why exactly. Okay. But when you learn the reason for the mitzvah, the ta'am, the reason adds flavor, you get more excited about the mitzvah. That's why the word tam means reason and flavor. It adds flavor. You understand the mitzvah better. You get more into it. It impacts upon you more. The reason is not the essence, but the reason adds flavor to the mitzvah. And then you're more excited to do the mitzvah. Mitzvos are like vitamins. This mashal Rav Aaron Soloveitchik did not say. He said it differently. I'm adjusting it slightly. Mitzvos are like vitamins. Mitzvos with reasons are like Flintstones vitamins. You want to eat a lot of them. They taste good. Or nowadays we'd say gummy bear vitamins. It's a very good mashal. That's the idea of Nasa v'Nishma. And that's hinted at maybe in the word Machar. The idea that the purpose of Yetzias Mitzrayim was to get the Torah on Har Sinai. So I saw an amazing gematria. An amazing gematria. The exact gematria of Yetzias Mitzrayim equals Naaseh V'Nishma. 891. That's not bad. Not bad means good. Okay, we'll stop here.